braving the elements. I am praying that the weather people are horribly wrong, that it will be 75 and sunny tomorrow morning. Yeah. All right, we're continuing our message on Here We Go. And this year here at New Hope Christian Center is a year that has been fastly approaching or slowly approaching, however you want to look at it, from our Math A Tool class, our Wall Builders class. And now we are releasing people to do what it is that God has called them to do. And the reason I call it Here We Go is basically because I did not want to plagiarize Pastor Henry in his message when he said, get ready to move. So I had to change it so as not to offend Bishop. But here we go basically means, and I talked last week about the anticipation of when you go to a theme park, and if you love roller coasters and rides, there's the anticipation of getting on or standing in line to get onto a ride that you've never been on. I mean, you've watched other people go on this ride. You've seen them do the things that they do, the loop-de-loops and the launch and everything. But there's just that anticipation that you have when you are the next one in line, and then it's your turn. The gate opens, and you walk in, and you sit down, and you put that harness over you, and you double-check it just to make sure it's going to work. And there's that anticipation of, okay, there's no turning back now. Here we go. And where we're at right now with New Hope Christian Center is we're in the Here We Go mode. We are in the, we've done the connecting with God through the studies, and we will continue to do so. It is now time to connect with other people on a deeper level, and it is time to be released for service for those of you God is calling into that service. And the reality is we are all where we are spiritually, but God doesn't want us to stay there. You see, if you're spiritually the same today as you were a year ago, there's something wrong. There is something wrong. We are continue to grow, and we're going to take a look at that. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, and I'm just going to recap a little bit, and then we're going to get into the new part of my message. But God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, and plans to give you hope in a future. God knows. He says, I knew you, to Jeremiah. I knew you before you were in your mama's womb. I knew who I wanted you to be. I declared that you were going to be my prophet, that you were going to speak my words. And it came to pass. And God did not just know Jeremiah before he was in his mama's womb. He knew you before you were in your mama's womb. You see, we all have a plan and a purpose that God has for each and every one of us. And how do we do that? How do we go forward? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, he said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. He said, basically to Abram, here we go. Here we go. It's time to move. He didn't tell him where he was going. He didn't tell him how long it was going to take to get there. He just said, go. Leave your family, your household, your friends, your land. Everything that makes you comfortable, you need to leave that now. And so Abram had to have a plan. There had to be a plan. And when he considered his plan, there were certain things that he had to take with him, and there were certain things that he needed to leave behind. All he knew was that God said, go. God is saying to New Hope Christian Center, as a corporate body, as a family, and as individuals, here we go. Here we go. And if we are going to go through this new year and your plan, how many of you want to grow in your knowledge? How many of you want to grow spiritually in your walk? If you're going to do that, if that is your plan, you have to have a plan. Because if you continue to do the same things over and over and expect different results, that is insanity. That is the definition of insanity. Well, yes, I want to grow in the Lord. I want to grow in my faith. I want to do this. Well, how are you going to do it? I don't know. I just plan on doing the things the way I did last year. If you do the things that you did last year, the same that you did, you will get the same results. If you did not grow last year spiritually and you didn't do anything, and that's your plan for this next year, you will achieve what you planned. A failure to plan is a plan for failure. So if you want to go ahead and move ahead in your grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and in your faith, you have to have a plan. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." There are three different aspects of knowledge here that Hosea is talking about. We're looking at each of those aspects. The first one, he says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. 1 Peter 1, 5 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith." See, it's not just about getting saved. It's not just about getting saved and it's like, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm part of God's family. The deal is done, sealed. It doesn't matter what I do from here on out. That is absolutely wrong. He says, if you are going to do these things, add to your faith goodness. And that, it doesn't really translate well, goodness. What exactly is, well, I'm a good person. Well, whoop-de-doo. But goodness in the Greek means is arete. And it means a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action, moral excellence. So we are to add, if we have faith, we are to add to that faith arete, which means how you think, how you act, how you feel morally should be increasing and growing each and every day. Does that make sense? We are to add to our faith goodness, and then to what? And to goodness, knowledge. We are to add knowledge. Because if you're not adding knowledge, you are planning to fail. You are absolutely planning to fail. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, here at New Hope Christian Center, we are giving you opportunities to increase in your goodness, in your arete, and increase in your knowledge. However, you have to take advantage of those opportunities that we give you. You are not going to increase your arete, your goodness, and your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ by showing up once in a while on a Sunday morning. It's not going to happen. There has to be a plan. We have we are offering up our life groups now where you have an opportunity to connect with other people, to connect with God, and learn what it is that God has for you. We have people that are right now stepping into the release of service or release for service. We have people that are leading life groups that when they first came to the church, they said, "There's no way I am ever going to do that. There's no way I could ever do that." And now we've seen the growth in so many people. And what they are doing is they're increasing in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, which means they are becoming more and more like him. They are becoming a disciple of Jesus. And it is impossible to be a disciple of someone without becoming more and more like that person. So as we individually become disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, part of that is getting to the point where you bring people along and you become a mentor to them. You see, I don't have the time or the energy to disciple everybody. I don't. And that was never God's plan. God's plan is that each and every person become a disciple and a follower of him, and then you teach other people. True disciples make disciples. True followers of Jesus Christ make other followers of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? All right, so we have the opportunities for people. And for some of you, that may be your here we go. That may be your next step, is getting involved in a life group. Your next step may be getting up a little bit earlier on a Sunday morning and coming to our Sunday morning workout, our verse-by-verse Bible study. Your next step is different than my next step, but we all have a next step. And we all need to be obedient and diligent in whatever that is. All right? So let's go back to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. So the first part of knowledge is a lack of knowledge. It's not knowing. It's not understanding. It's not gathering that information and that knowledge. That's what a lack of knowledge is. Then he talks about rejected knowledge. Rejected knowledge. 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, there's that word again, which some have rejected and have so suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. So here we have not just a lack of knowledge, we have people that have a knowledge and they reject it. They reject it. Isaiah 55, actually let's go back. Good conscience in the Greek is synédesis. Synédesis, and it means the soul as distinguishing but between what is morally good and bad, prompting to do the former and shun the latter, and commending one while condemning the other. Good conscience, or synédesis, is your soul that distinguishes what's between good and bad morally. You see, we want to choose what is good and bad. We live in a culture that, depending on what region you live in, some things may be good and some things may be bad, that in other regions, they're vice versa. We live in a culture that likes to define what is good and what is bad. We do it ourselves. We do it ourselves. There are certain things in our lives that's like, well, you know what? I don't think God really cares. If I do this, what harm am I doing? And we reject the truth because we want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives. Maybe you don't have that problem. I do. I absolutely do. So the problem is who gets to draw the line? Who gets to decide? Does it's the Supreme Court that gets to decide what is good and bad morally? Is it our city council? Is it our sheriff? Is it our mayors? Is it the people on TV? Is it Hollywood? God help us. Who gets to decide? Who gets to lay the boundary lines to that? Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9 makes it very clear. Makes it very clear. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Who gets to decide? God does. He gets to decide. So when we talk about good conscience, where our soul distinguishes between what is good morally and bad morally, God is the one that gets to set the line. Not us. Not our culture. Not our president. Not our Congress. Not our legislature. God gets to establish that. And it says that we reject it. God says, "From you, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge because you have rejected the knowledge that you do have." And he says, what is the consequence? I will also reject you. I will also reject you. So let's go back to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, and we're going to look at the third one. And I'm going to get you home early today. You're welcome. So my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. And because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. There's the third phase. First phase, lack of knowledge. Second phase, rejecting knowledge. Third phase, ignoring God's law. That is the third one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And we're going to read through this. We looked at the first part. For this very reason, actually, I'm going to back up a little bit. I like the word in the Hebrew, ignored, for you have ignored the law of your God. I think I needed a greater understanding of what ignored means. It's kind of like, I always thought of, if you've ever grown up with siblings and they kind of got on your nerves and pushed buttons, my mom always said, just ignore them. Just ignore them. And to me, that always meant just don't even pay attention to what they're doing. Just turn your back and just don't even bother with what they're doing. Don't let them bother you. But actually, the Hebrew word is shachach, shachach. And it means to forget, to ignore, to wither, or to cease to care. You see, when he says you have ignored the law of your God, in the Hebrew it means you have forgotten it, you've ignored it, you've allowed it to wither in your life, and you cease to care about it anymore. How many people do you know that were once part of a thriving body of believers, and now they are no longer go to church, they no longer, you don't see any fruit in their lives? You know why? It's because they either have a lack of knowledge and the enemy has stolen what they have, or they've rejected that knowledge and said, I know better than God how I am to live my life and how I want to live my life. Or they have ignored it. They have shachak. They have allowed their faith to wither and they cease to care anymore. That is a very common thing in the body of Christ. One of those things is happening. Either you are increasing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, or you are ignorant of the knowledge, or you reject what you do know, or you've allowed your faith to wither. There's four options. That's it. And it says in one of the verses, you've allowed your faith to become shipwrecked. A shipwreck is of no use to anyone. Your faith used to be sailing on the seas, doing what God wanted you to do, and all of a sudden it ends up in a harbor somewhere, a bunch of scraps. Good for nothing. And that's what that's talking about right here. You have ignored the law of your God. So let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And I've read this thing to you a million times. But this is a progression. This is a plan on how to increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the recipe. If you want to make something, if you want to bake something that you've never done before, you need to get a recipe to do it. And you have to follow that recipe. I don't know if you ever watch Cook's Country or America's Test Kitchen. My wife watches it. It's either that or HGTV at my house. Unless I go downstairs. And then Belinda comes downstairs and changes it to Cook's Country or HGTV. But if you ever watch those, that Cook's Country, there's a science involved in cooking. I had no idea. But it's all science. It's all how chemicals and proteins and everything react. And if you don't do it a certain way in certain recipes, it is not going to turn out. My mom, growing up, she during the holidays, she would make fudge and caramels. And she made this little, you don't see it much anymore. It's called Divinity. And I loved Divinity. There were two things that I made myself sick on when I was a kid. One was caramel corn that my mom made, and the other was Divinity. Literally made myself sick. Literally, for you, Larry. He loves that word. But I would ask my mom, and I'd say, Mom, let's make some Divinity. Let's make some Divinity. And she goes, I have to look at the barometer first. And I'm like, what do you mean? That's just a cop-out for you don't want to make Divinity. Well, you have to make it in certain barometric pressure. Otherwise, it won't set up right. So she would go check the barometer, and it's like, okay, yeah, we can make a batch. And she goes, no, we're wasting our time. And it was back before, you know, the KitchenAids and everything, but you could just set it and it'll whip it for like 45 minutes. You had to fold it to do it right. And so you're folding and folding and folding and fold. And there's nothing more frustrating than folding for about a half an hour, switching your arms because the other one's so tired, you can't even hold the spatula anymore. That if you didn't do it in the right barometric pressure, it would not set up no matter how much you whip that thing. And it was so frustrating. But there's a science to it. There's recipe. You have to know these things in order for them to turn out. We have to know these things, this recipe, for our lives if we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting the order that is listed here. The order that is listed here, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. The very first thing is faith. If you do not have faith in God, don't try to add these other ingredients. It's the basis that holds everything together. Because if you skip faith and try to go to goodness, your goodness is like filthy rags, what the Bible says. Your goodness on your own without God in your life and your faith as the foundation of who you are, forget trying to add the rest of the ingredients. Forget it. It's kind of like trying to make bread without flour. I don't know, maybe there is a way, but isn't that basically the basis of bread? It's the foundation. It's everything that you add to that. Try to make bread without flour. It won't work. Try to add these things to your life if you do not have a solid connection and a solid faith to build upon. Forget the rest of the recipe because you're wasting your time. So you add to faith goodness. Add to goodness knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. When you get the knowledge, guess what? It's going to fight against your very core, your very flesh. It is in opposition. You see, now we are made alive in Christ. We live by the Spirit and not the flesh. When we become spiritual beings and God makes our spirit alive, it does not mean that our flesh automatically goes away and never haunts us again. Wrong. But we need to add that self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's going to get hard. It's going to get difficult. Living the life as a Christian, for me, is a lot more difficult than it was before I was a Christian. I did whatever I wanted within the law or within the ability to get caught by the law. And there was no struggle. The only struggle was when I got caught and I struggled with the consequences. But we are to add this perseverance because it's going to be a struggle. But what's awesome is God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will be your strength. I will be your fortress. I will be there. And every time you need me, I will be there. You just have to ask. And Lord knows I ask on a daily basis because I need his help on a daily basis. Add to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted, blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. If we do not add this recipe to our lives on a daily basis, it says we are ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's your recipe. There's your plan for this year. How are you going to implement that? How are you going to sustain this? Because if you do this on a daily basis, and I don't know about you, there's certain things that I can add, no problem. There are other things, it's like, holy smokes, that's hard for me. And your recipe is going to be the same, but you're going to be in a different place wherever it is. Some of you are just adding the flour. Some of you have gotten to where you add the eggs. Some of you are where you add the milk. As long as we're somewhere on that spectrum, that's where we can be productive and effective as followers of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? If you commit to a regular attendance in a Sunday morning workout or Sunday services or a life group, you are less likely to be guilty of shechach, which is forgetting, allowing your faith to wither, and becoming in danger of ceasing to care about what God cares about. You see, when you plug into these things, that might be your next, here we go. But if you continue to do the same things that you did last year and expect to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're insane. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. So take these things from 2 Peter. Take these things and look at them and go, all right, God, I know you have a plan for my life. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. I know you have a plan for my life. I am not quite sure what that looks like, where you're taking me, but I want to be like Abram, and I want to go. I want to step out. Help me to trust you to do that. And go before him, and he says, if you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found. You can find me if you really seek me. But if you turn on the television and you watch the Kardashians, chances are God's not going to show up during that hour. He may. But if we're just casually inquiring and saying, just once in a while, hey, God, I need this, 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 and this. Instead of actually persevering, pressing in, seeking him with all of your heart, he says, I'll be found. You can find me, and I will talk. I will speak to you. He's not a God that plays hide and seek. We just need to learn how to hear his voice, because if we can't hear his voice, we won't understand his instructions. How do we get to know him more? Increase in our knowledge. Increase in your knowledge. Add to your faith goodness, and then to your goodness, knowledge. Allow God to determine what is good, and morally good and morally bad in your life. Give him the throne back in your life. Get your booty up off the throne, because he's not going to kick you off of it. He's not going to grab you by the ear and throw you off the throne of your life. He's not going to do that. So you need to get up off the throne, and let him have it. And then trust that he is your heavenly Father, that he wants the best for you in your life, and allow him to guide you. Allow him to lead you wherever it is that he wants you to go. And trust that he has your best interests at heart. We need to stop perishing from a lack of knowledge. We need to stop rejecting the knowledge that we do have. And we need to stop allowing our faith to wither. And because then we cease to care. And if we do that, we are ineffective and unproductive as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. You know, when God sets out a challenge before us, just like he set out a challenge to Abram, when he said, just go. He called Abram specifically, personally. Abram was not to go to his wife and say, okay, well, what do you think about this? Well, I'm not going if you don't go. Well, how about we just, whatever it is that God is speaking to you, he is speaking to you individually. He's not speaking to you as a couple. He's not speaking to you as husband and wife. He's not speaking to you as boyfriend and girlfriend. He's speaking individually to you. So don't look to the other person and go, oh, do you think I should do this? Or do you think, no, go to God and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is my first step? And don't allow anyone else to talk you out of that first step, no matter what it is. It's between you and him. Well, I'm not going to step out. And I've had so many wives who have come to me for counsel, and they have said, I will not step out spiritually ahead of my husband. It's too hard. I refuse to grow. If he's not going to go with me and grow, then I'm not going to do it because it's too hard. And with each and every one of them, for the most part, I see someone who's their faith, they ignored it, it withered, and now it's just a shell of what it used to be because they let someone else determine how much they were going to grow. You see, you're going to stand before God yourself and give an account to everything that he has told you to do. And your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, and your wife or your kids, they're not going to be there. You can't turn to your husband and go, I told you, Henry. I told you we were supposed to go forward. Uh-uh. I'm just using you as an because I know that's never happened ever, 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 ever. We are all responsible for the call that God has on our life, period. So my encouragement to you is stop looking side to side and look up and say, God, what's my next step? And if you feel God tugging at your heart saying, I want you to be a part to get connected with a smaller group of people in a life group, then you can go out there and Joy, I think, is going to be behind the desk and you can look and see what we have to offer. But it is God's plan that we do life in the context of community, that we do life in context of family. And that's what we're about here at New Hope Christian Center. We're family. We're not just a building that we congregate in. We are family. And we are called to help one another, to encourage one another, to lift one another up. There's enough garbage in the world that we don't need to drag that garbage into the church. We are to love God and to love one another. That is the number one and number two commandment of all. And that's what we are doing here at New Hope Christian Center. That is what we are called to do. And we will do it. We are doing it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would continue to lead us in the direction that you want us to go. That each and every one of us would individually ask, Lord, what is my next step? Not, Lord, what is my destination, but what is my next step? And help us to be obedient to whatever that next step is. And to strike while the iron is hot. Because if we hem and haw and we just kind of drag our feet, that urgency, that soft tugging in our heart, it will begin to wither. Help us to be obedient to those things that you have called us to do so that we can be effective witnesses and each and every day we can become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Ask that you would dismiss us, keep all of us safe on the roads, Lord. And if it be your will, let it be 80 degrees tomorrow. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.